Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 20th year. I'm Roger Gross, the editor-at-large for GGB, and today we sit down with George Goldoff, the president and CEO of Hard Rock Atlantic City, also the president of the Casino Association of New Jersey. When Hard Rock Atlantic City needed a new president, they chose George Goldoff, who had been running a Hard Rock Cincinnati property. He previously worked for MGM Resorts and Pure Canadian Gaming, and even had a hand in F&B with managing restaurants at the Plaza Hotel and the Rainbow Room in New York City. He was recently appointed president of the Casino Association at a critical time for the Boardwalk Casinos, now that they are faced with heated competition from casinos in New York City. He spoke with me at the East Coast Gaming Congress at the Hard Rock Atlantic City in April. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is George Goldoff. We're here at the East Coast Gaming Congress at the Hard Rock Atlantic City, and George is a CEO here and recently was appointed the president of the Casino Association of New Jersey. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, Roger, and good afternoon.
Yep, that's an exciting role. You're going to be really busy in the next couple of years, I imagine.
Yeah, we're unified around a number of topics, which we may cover today.
Excited to
coordinate, facilitate, you know, lead the charge for the association in New Jersey.
Great. Well, let's start with your property here. You've been here, what, 3 years now?
Yeah, Roger, just over 3 years. I got here in January of 2023.
Okay. And it's been doing great. You're always consistently in the top three revenue producers here in Atlantic City. What was last year? Was that a good year for you? Or
2025?
Yes.
Yeah, 2025 was one of our best years.
Okay.
Top three, mm-hmm. And we're pleased with the results, and certainly more than just financial. We've done a number of things. Our team member engagement has never been higher. Yeah. We've had, you know, accolades through USA Today, mm-hmm. best workplaces, and you know our guest survey scores are off the charts.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the entire package, which translates into finance.
Sure, absolutely. And I have to tell you, your team here, you know, we've got this room set up for us here at Hard Rock, and your team has been very responsive. We just came out of the lunch for the luncheon, and boy, they were on it. Because they let the governor speak first, and before you ate anything, you know, so everybody's, and boom, the food was out in 10 minutes after that. It was incredible.
Yeah, the team for these big events, whether it's the Gaming Congress, you know, we've done the governors in 2023 and a number of others, they always level up and you see them working and the facilities never look better and they're on their A game. And I so admire and I'm so grateful for what they have accomplished. And it's really fun to see them to level up for these big events.
No question. We were going to the reception last night in Council Oak, and you know, I know where I'm going, but you know, people are following me. Do you really know where you're going? I said, I know this property like the back of my hand because Donald Trump himself gave me a tour when it first opened.
You've been associated with this property for
a long
decades,
time.
Roger?
For sure. So, but it's a great property, and we're in the meeting and convention space. How has that business been working for you?
The meeting and convention space has grown year over year over year, and Donna Ward, who's our Vice President of Hotel Sales, is doing an absolutely phenomenal job. And this year, you know, fingers crossed, God willing, we will be even our best effort, which was last year.
Yeah. Well, I see almost every other room is taken up outside of the East Coast Gaming Congress. So, you know, I hope you keep it all filled up and you get a nice occupancy rate on the hotel for sure.
Absolutely. That's the goal.
Yeah, no question about it. So another strength that you have is your entertainment policy. I've just checked out who you have coming this summer, and a couple of shows I want to go to there. So.
Which ones, Roger?
I'll tell you afterwards.
But you'll let me know.
Yeah. But no, you've got some great entertainment, and that always draws a lot of people. And of course, in the legendary Edis Arena there, you know, a great place to see concerts. So how has that been working for you?
It's been fantastic. We've won awards for anything under a 10,000 cap. I think we're number 7 in the country in terms of volumes and that type of thing. We've really leaned into it this year too. Last year, and just in the Edis Arena, and you know we have Sound Waves, which is our smaller theater. Yeah. And we also have three what we call vibe stages, mm-hmm. where we have live entertainment
right.
7 days a week. But the Edis Arena, we had, I think it was 78 shows last year. Mm-hmm. We're targeting 90, and we're well on track to do 90.
Yeah.
And so we're not only leaning into the volume, but we've also increased, I would think, the quality. You know,
sure.
We had the Rod Stewart and Jason Aldean. We have James Taylor coming up. Yeah. And, you know,
my wife
Phil Burr's on. Is that the one?
That's one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, we're the same era, so it doesn't surprise me.
She's a huge James Taylor fan, and I am too. I liked him when he was on Apple Records before he became a big hit, you know. Okay. So, he's great. But, you know, you mentioned Sound Waves. That's a nice smaller theater. What is it, about 2,500?
It's a bit smaller than that.
Yeah.
We can seat about 1,400
okay.
in Sound Waves.
Well, that's very intimate. And I see you have Penn and Teller coming there. And, you know, I've seen them many times at the Rio in Las Vegas, and very entertaining. So
very entertaining.
In a small space like that, it should be really cool.
They draw. You know, the stage is built in, all the lights and the sound. Mm-hmm. It's intimate, it's boutique-y, and it's a beautiful venue.
Sure, sure, no question about that. And again, you know, you mentioned these other venues, the Lobby Bar, it's always exciting. Every night you got music in there, and I'd see people on Facebook saying, well, where should we go? I said, just go to the Hard Rock Lobby Bar. They're always got music going.
So like I said, 7 days a week
right.
in the Lobby Bar. Tonight we have the B Street Band. Not the E Street Band, but the B Street Band, which is the Bruce Springsteen clone band, which have been in
tribute
this
band,
area
right?
for how long? I don't know.
Sure.
Forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
sure.
They put on a great show.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, all the people you hire for that, you know, they got people up and dancing, and it's a lot of fun down there for sure.
Absolutely.
So you've got a small sports book here, but, you know, Hard Rock has really ramped up their online gaming effort, including the sports books. Has that affected your visitation here at all?
You know, it's very hard to say.
Yeah.
My view on interactive and digital and online gaming, it's really about having an omni-channel, which
right.
in simple terms is 1 + 1 mm-hmm. equals 3.
Right.
So when you have bricks and mortar, and when you have a sports book, and when you have online gaming, and you can move customers, that customer is actually worth more mm-hmm. to the enterprise as a whole when you have everything versus only having one of those components.
Yeah, yeah.
So are some of our components, maybe the question asked a different way, mm-hmm. are they playing online too? They could be.
Yeah.
They could be. It's we've seen some crossover
right.
and we've actually introduced some of our bricks and mortar guests to mm-hmm. the online channel.
Right.
And
they can earn points on their Unity card online as well.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Okay. So that's synergistic in a certain extent.
Got to keep them in the brand,
that's
Roger.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly, right. Well, we'll hear your boss later today speak, and I'm sure he'll mention that for sure.
He will.
Yeah. So let's talk about your role with the Casino Association. I've been covering this industry ever since the Casino Association was founded. And I think I've interviewed every president. So you're adding to my line here.
Okay.
So thank you. But let's talk about the cooperation with the city. You know, in the past, that hasn't always been great. I mean, we've heard Jim Allen criticize the city in the past. How's it been in the last couple of years with Mayor Small?
It's been, I can speak personally, from my viewpoint, it's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
When Mayor Small was reelected, I called him up that morning and congratulated him. He's having his gala here at the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
He and I get along really well. We don't see an eye to eye on
sure.
everything,
right.
But we have a really cordial, collegial relationship, and I really like Marty, and
mm-hmm.
it's good to see him on property a lot,
right.
and you know he's done a lot of good things for the city. We need and want more.
Yeah, sure.
but at the same time, our relationship has been fantastic.
Okay. What are some of the things you want more from the city? Obviously, paved roads. I know they just started doing the Atlantic Avenue repaving, which is way long overdue. Adding to that, what else would you like to see the city, you know, improve?
You know, it's really interesting. I went onto the CRDA website, and they have a master plan for Atlantic City on there that was commissioned by Governor Christie in 2011. And adopted in 2012.
Right.
And it's comprehensive. It's 190 pages. Mm-hmm. It breaks out Atlantic City into a variety of different districts, including the entertainment district.
Right.
And it lists from the approach to current conditions to what should get done.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic report, and it has the top 12 items that should get done.
Yeah.
And so the top two in importance, number one is blight, to cure the blight.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is the perception of clean and safe was not there. And this was in 2012.
Yeah.
And so my view is that you could redact that date on that report and implement the master plan. Now, you know, have we improved on the blight? I don't know. I wasn't here in 2012. Have we improved on this clean and safe in the last 3 years? I think we have a bit. But it's a continuum, and we need a lot of enthusiasm and effort around these items.
Sure.
And I can tell you, I was in a meeting with the CRDA, and they own a number of these blighted buildings. They buy them and raise them or try to sell them to the developer that will improve them and that type of thing.
Sure.
And they threw out a number. There are over 500 blighted or abandoned buildings in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
And there's also more oceanfront acreage in Atlantic City than any other place in North America.
Really?
So we have enormous potential, incredible upside. So getting back to your original question, I say that by looking at history. And what would I like to see? I would like to see the building codes enforced more strictly. I would like to see beautification happening in our parks. I'd like to see this blight being reduced. And I'd like to have a plan and understand what that plan is with goals to have that done.
Right.
I think it would help to have a safe, walkable entertainment district. Let's start from Pacific Avenue towards the beach, and then we can build out.
Yeah. Well, Pacific Avenue, talk about blight. There's quite a bit there. Hopefully, they'll start working on that. Encouraging development in the inlet. They're going to put a housing development there. I think it's 100 or so townhomes or something. I mean, do you hope that kind of thing spreads throughout the city?
I sure do, Roger. I mean, that is one of the keys to success for the city, to get residents to move into Atlantic City and have some rooftops. And I think that's the Kushner organization.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And it's been approved. They've had that land for decades. And they've announced that they're going to start on this rebuilding effort, and it's welcomed.
Right, right. And of course, the development of Bader Field, we're not sure where that's going yet. The governor didn't mention it today, so we'll have to see what, if she wants the race course on Bader Field. But
we'll see about that.
Yeah, I live in Venice Park, and this noise will come to my house. I don't want it.
Okay. You don't want those 800 horsepower engines racing by your window.
So do you have a seat on the CRDA as president of the association?
I don't. I know there's an open seat, and they've asked for somebody from Hard Rock to fill it.
Yeah.
So we're contemplating who that should be. I have a day job and with some responsibilities too. So.
Well, I spoke with somebody in your position, you know, probably 15-20 years ago, and he said, you know, I have the seat, I don't fill it at all because they don't listen to me, you know.
Aww.
So I don't know if things have changed or not, but
we welcome the opportunity to fill the seat, and I think we're better collaborating than not. My dad used to say, as long as we keep on talking, then we're going to be able to figure things out, but if we're not participating,
sure,
then I don't think anything will get done. So
right. Okay, so let's talk about New York City. You know, we've got one operating Class 3 casino in New York City. They're going to build the other two. I understand Hard Rock isn't going to have a temporary casino. Is that correct?
No, we're putting pilings in the ground right now. It is being built from the ground up. We're not putting up a tent.
Yeah.
We're not taking over a building to put slot machines in. This is going to be when we turn key and, well, we smash guitars. Yeah. We don't cut ribbons.
Right, right.
It is going to be the ultimate casino in North America, in the world. And that is what we're building, and it should be open in the middle of 2030.
Okay. And of course, I had Sue Kim in here from Bally's just a few hours ago, and we were talking about his casino, the Bally's Casino in the Bronx. So they're going to have three you know, first-class casinos up there. What's the impact on Atlantic City? And you know, you're kind of in a little different place because you're in partners with one of those casinos up there. So, you know, what's your impression, how it's going to impact your property and the city as a whole?
Well, look, my heart and my responsibilities are here in Atlantic City. We engaged an organization to look at what the impact would be. Mm-hmm. And what we realized that in 2026, there's going to be an immediate impact from Resorts World, New York, mm-hmm. opening their table games and then also moving 5,000, 6,000 machines to Class 3.
Right.
What we also realize that anything west of Manhattan, because you have to cross through a tunnel, a bridge, or another bridge, and then maybe get on the Bell Parkway, it might take you an hour and 15 minutes or an hour and a half to get there versus jumping on the highway and getting to Atlantic City in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I look at it that way, and I also think back and study history, and in between 2007 and 2014 on the Eastern Seaboard, you were here, there was Delaware, there was Maryland, but most importantly, as it affects Atlantic City, there was the growth in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And in 2007, gross gaming revenues in bricks and mortar, there was no digital back then, was peaked out at about $5.2
billion. Right.
By 2014, and I get it, there's a lot of noise in there. There was a great recession.
Right, yeah, sure.
Oil in 2011 was $140 a barrel. Mm. So it doesn't account for all of it.
Right.
But the market ended at 2.4. It went down by about 45%.
Right.
Each individual casino, it varied. Mm-hmm. I know five went out of business.
Right.
But they went down as much as 57% and as little as 11%. Mm-hmm. And the casinos that were able to compete, stay in business, those legacy casinos exist. Some of them exist today because they had superior amenities and they marketed to the resort guest and that type of thing. Impossible to, one of the lessons is, impossible to compete with convenience.
Sure, right.
People will drive five miles down the road to play their slot machine, but when it comes to an experience, gaming being a part of that, they will choose Atlantic City.
Sure.
We have the boardwalk, we have the beach, we have a number of casinos, we have world-class entertainment, we have the best restaurants, we have the best hotel rooms.
Right.
And quite frankly, as this relates to New York, the tax rates in New York are elevated compared to New Jersey, and therefore we can offer our players free play. We can offer them promotional gaming chips. We can offer them a hotel room. We can get them tickets to some of the best shows in the world. We can, you know, get them on a golf course. We have world-class shopping. So it's a different experience, full well knowing that this will have an immediate and a large impact on the casinos here.
You know, I heard that argument, however, with Pennsylvania, where, you know, we have all this stuff and, you know, we can give them free play. Well, in Pennsylvania, they decided you can write off promotional expenses, and that was a real killer. I'm not sure what the New York regs say, but I don't know if you can write off promotional expenses as well in New York, but I guess we'll see.
I guess we will see.
Yeah, exactly. So that leads me to, well, you know, will you get some kind of synergistic ability to work with the New York property, so bring people to your property down here?
Well, I would say both, Roger, which is to say that our database in Atlantic City comprises of a large number of players from Brooklyn,
sure, right,
from Flushing, mm-hmm, from Long Island,
right,
from that 1 hour or 2 hour donut, mm-hmm, from where we're building, right, in Willets Point. So we will not only assist the opening in 2030 and share players,
right,
that go to New York, but I'm assuming that I'm not part of the New York,
right,
property, sure, but right, I would assume there's some synergies there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You'll have negotiations way before they open, so that'll be encouraging.
Correct.
For you anyway. So let's talk about another one where you have a little bit of a conflict, and I know I've spoken with Jim Allen, and he says, well, he's got the deal with the North Jersey racetracks. He's promised Stephen Cohen that he will not build there. So, but North Jersey casinos are certainly what we're fearful of here in Atlantic City.
Yeah, my personal view on North Jersey casinos, and quite frankly, it has to pass,
right,
the House, it has to pass the Senate, and mm-hmm, has to be signed by the governor by August 3rd to even have a referendum in November. So
right,
we're a long way off,
right,
from that, a long way off. If I had to handicap it, I mean, we have contingencies.
Yeah.
We are going to fight it, certainly. I don't think it will happen. And, you know, if it does, I can't speak for Hard Rock.
Right.
But, you know, that would be short-sighted for the government,
yeah,
to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who would stay in Atlantic City if that were actually the case.
Sure, absolutely. I think that's an ultimate danger for Atlantic City, for
yeah,
sure. So a topic that I am semi-passionate about is smoking on the mm-hmm, on the casino floor. I was a former dealer, and
yeah,
I had smoke blown in my face many times, you know, and it's
certainly
not pleasant, and it's not healthy for your employees. I know it's hard to say we'll do it unilaterally, but do you think that there should be a smoking ban for Atlantic City? And maybe if we did it in conjunction with Pennsylvania, I know there's efforts up there at the same time, because all the other states around us, there's no smoking in casinos.
That would be the ultimate solution.
Yeah, ideal way to do it.
Yeah,
right,
if we could collaborate with mm-hmm, Pennsylvania, but
That would probably never happen.
That's might be a bridge too far right now. So the Casino Association of New Jersey put together a compromise bill which would allow smoking in a small footprint, and then there's better technology and that kind of thing, how many CFMs gets changed over. We think that is the compromise bill is the better way to go if the smoking mm-hmm, ban comes in at all. And we want it to be safe for our dealers and certainly for anybody who works on the casino floor, whether mm-hmm, they're cocktail servers. We also know, and it gets very nuanced here, and it's such an easy message to say, no more smoking because that's the best health outcome.
Right, sure.
So there's been studies out there, and they say, well, if smoking happens, mm-hmm, 10% of the market would go away. If 10%
right,
of the market goes away, that does mean that there are less jobs. If there are less jobs, and let's say it's linear, 10% of, you know, 23,000, does that mean that 2,300 people plus their families don't have health care? And I'm not certain that is a very good health outcome either, if that were to happen.
Well, you're kind of citing a very old study. It's over 10 years old. So there's been some other studies done recently where smoking bans have actually increased business. People stay away from casinos because they don't like the smoke. You know, that's another way to look at it.
It is a way to look at it.
Right. So last item I have is the online gaming, particularly these predictions markets, which are really you know, just taking over the industry right now. They've far surpassed the legal sports books and online casinos or sports books right
mm-hmm,
now, but we know they're ready to throw those, you know, casino games up there as well if they get their sports book approved. Where do you stand on that?
I'm a pretty simple guy, Roger, and if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and flies like a duck,
yep,
it is actually a duck. And it's somewhat unregulated. I get it. The Commodities Commission or what have you regulates it.
Yeah.
But it competes directly with online gaming, which is 100% regulated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we have a robust 1-800-GAMBLER responsible gaming message that we train all of our team members on,
right,
all of our management on,
mm-hmm,
that we put out to the public, that we're, and they're not.
There's none of that for
Kelsey or whoever we're talking about.
Right.
I'm actually quite surprised that it's gotten this far and there's a debate.
Yeah.
But it has, and I will defer to the attorneys in courts to fight this out, but
yeah,
my view is that I think it should be a safe, regulated industry, and that's what we're doing right now
with
sports betting.
Yeah, well, it's clearly illegal, and I think with what I've seen here at the show, I was at the Indian Gaming Conference last week in San Diego. Lots of opposition to it there, so I think if we all get unified, I think there's a good chance to stop it.
I think you're right. I mean, the sort of the madness has to stop.
Yeah.
And I mean, what happens to our current incumbents that have paid for licenses have, thousands of employees and have, they're global and they're here in New Jersey? I mean,
I was just talking to the head of the Casino Control Commission and asked him why you don't threaten to pull the licenses of DraftKings and FanDuel that jumped into the predictions markets right away. They are accepting illegal bets in other states and they're licensed here. Why don't you threaten them with pulling their license? He said, "Oh, I'll think about that."
Well, I hope they think about that.
I hope he does. So, George, great to see you here, and again, congratulations on being the new president of the association and running a great property here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Roger. It's always good to see you, George.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out the Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the daily news of the gaming industry, subscribe for free to the Global Gaming Monitor at igamingbusiness.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.